Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Let's give him a welcome. Praise God. And let's go to God to put in prayer tonight, because there is a word that really needs the Holy Spirit to bring it forth tonight. And it's about God and His love, and it's always not easy conveying the love of God and what God is saying about His love for us and to us in this manner. And let's go to God in prayer that the Holy Spirit Himself would communicate that into our lives tonight. Father, we praise You and we thank You for all that Your Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. Father, there are things that only words can communicate to a certain extent. There are a lot of things, oh Father, that only Your Spirit can help to convey and communicate, to impart into each one of our heart and each one of our lives. Things that are beyond words. Things that only Your Holy Spirit can convey spirit to spirit. Concepts, understandings, revelations. We know, Father God, that it's something that Your Holy Spirit alone can communicate. And we ask tonight, O God, that You would open the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding, that we may be able to comprehend, together with all the saints, the width, the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of God, all that He has for us, and that we may not fall short in our comprehension, in our reception, in our transmission of the love that You have given unto us. And Father, where we have not been able to receive Your love, let Your light shine even brighter and greater, deeper in our lives, that we may be able to receive a greater measure of Your love tonight. Father, where we have only had a glimpse, let it be a more permanent look into the eyes of the love of God. We ask, O Father, that tonight You will grant by Your mercies and by Your grace a revelation of the fullness of the love that You have for us, the love that You had in Jesus, the love that You have poured into our lives. Show us, O Father, all as much as we are able to receive, and as much as we can continue to receive as we hear this word over and over again, that it may take root in our lives, that we may be established in this love that You have for us. We thank You, Father, for the predestination of God that works in our lives so that every one of us is always at the right place at the right time. And tonight You so chose those to be here and those to hear this word. We ask, O God, that You establish Your perfect predestined plan in each heart and life. And of those who hear this word, we thank You, Father, that Your word goes forth to establish Your kingdom, to establish Your work, to establish faith and Your purposes in each one of our lives. We praise You. We give You glory, worship and honor. In Jesus' name. And everyone say, Amen. Just before we go into the Word of God, I believe that it's always in a predestined plan of God for everything to take place in its fullness of time. And these meetings have a special flavor and special grace to it. And part of what I believe is a grace that is here tonight, which I want to speak forth and just sort of say something about it before we go into teaching, is that In 2006, when the Lord took me into the spiritual world during my 40-day fast, and also continuously after that for about a period of 5 weeks every day, and as He showed me the splendors of the spiritual world and all that is there, and each time it just boggles me and it just humbles me to know all that God has for us in the heavens above. And part of what He showed me, besides the two rivers of revival which I spoke about, revival of a healing wave that is coming, and that will be far greater than the healing wave that came in Azusa Street and in the 1940s and 50s revival. It will be far greater than that. And immediately following that wave will be a wave of creative miracles, such that we have not seen it before in the whole Christendom and in 2,000 years of Christianity. And God took me to show me rooms where human body parts are kept, and there are rooms and rooms of that. And angel told me that only a few have come into this place to receive those creative miracles that God has. And those will be fully released in the second wave of the creative miracle. But among those things that God spoke is that in the first wave of healing revival, there will be notable miracles that God will bring forth. And these notable miracles have been even predestined before some of the people who have been suffering and with all kinds of ailments for some time and praying for relief. They have been ordained and set aside as a testimony unto God. And remember, when God does a notable miracle, you can go to the doctors. And I believe when God does a healing, you can go to the doctors, have it fully examined, and when God does a healing, it will be evident. The miracle will be evident. Just as Jesus sent the lepers to the priest, because in those days, the one who could certify whether one was cleansed of leprosy or not in the time of the Jews was the priest. And so in our days today, it's doctors who certify whether one's sickness and disease is healed or not, or at least even if they don't want to use the word healing, they would use the word remission, and at least it's not present as far as all their tests can confirm. And when God does a miracle, it's always a witness that He does it, and it will be evident. I mean, you put it under the microscope. And it's different if you're believing God for it to come to pass. But when you have received it, it is evident. As you know, in Mark chapter 11, 23, 24, there are three tenses that are there. When you pray, believe that you have received and you shall have it. Three tenses. When you pray, present tense. Believe that you have received. Aries tense in the Greek, which is like a past tense. And you shall have it. Future tense, which is the manifestation. And so I do understand about one standing in faith and believing God and doing all the best to claim God's healing, meditating on the Word. But when God does something, it is evident. It is tangible. You can put it under a microscope and you could see the evidence that God has completed His work. And I have sensed that in these weeks of teaching and healing and in the things that God is doing, in the presence that God is doing, I do know in my spirit that there are notable miracles that God has predestined in our midst. I say without even a shadow of a doubt, I do know that it is the predestination of God. And I want you to know something about predestination of God. That when God has predestined something, human free choice is only a side matter. Because it is God planning everything. Think about it this way. In God, there is no time. Past, present, future are all the same to Him. He knows all things. He is a God who is, who was, and who is to come. He exists outside of time. In a sense, everything for God is like past tense. Our future is completed. So as far as from God's perspective, He knows all things. And based on His ability to foresee all our choices. And on my website, there's a Foundational Truth series in volume 13, which is the Doctrines of God. We cover on predestination and Arminianism. And we talk about free will and predestination and how to reconcile those two doctrines. And we reconcile it where free will is a subset of predestination. Like for example, right now you cannot choose to be in another galaxy outside the Milky Way. Obviously, you can't. Because it's outside your domain. So our free will is within God's ultimate plan. It's a subset of God's overall plan for the innumerable galaxies and creations and universes that He has made. And we're just one tiny dot in it. And our free will is within that. To us, it's everything. Freedom. But it's a subset under predestination. And I know, because every night since the time of the spiritual world, when I sleep and then go to bed, commune with God, and He still takes me occasionally into the spiritual world, and I do know from the conversations I've heard of the spiritual realm and angels that they're in our midst tonight. And among those who have come, some of them are not here tonight, but they will be throughout this series. I know who you are. That there are some of you who are desperate for a miracle. And I want you to know that as far as God is concerned, bringing you a miracle, a healing, a powerful work of faith that save you from death's jaws, where you're given a certain time to die, where doctors say there's no cure, is as easy as healing a headache or a cold. Especially when God has imparted His gift of faith. And I will touch about it somewhere in this series, hopefully, as the Lord permits. But it is not our faith. It's the gift of His faith. And I do know that there are those in our midst whom God has predestined that in this week's meeting, it is when the full manifestation of the miracle or healing that you desire take place. Some of you will even receive dreams at night that foretell you what is about to happen. Some of you will be drawn by the voice that you hear on your inner man, and you will know that God is bringing you a gift of His healing and miracle because it is just the fullness of time. And it is because it is a part of this wave of healing revival that He's bringing forth. And you are an important part of the equation. Those of you who will be receiving the manifestation of this notable miracle. Because God told me that these testimonies will stir the heart of others that God is real. that God is in our midst. It was by the works of Jesus that Jesus says to the Jews, if I don't do the works among you, you don't have to believe in me. But Jesus said, if you don't believe me, at least believe for the sake of the works themselves. That you know that God has been in our midst. And God has been in our midst. And God is manifesting Himself in our midst tonight. As this natural world, contact and touch the spiritual world where we live in the supernatural and we speak about the supernatural things of God. And I want you to know that this is the time for the manifestation of that miracle of God. And it does not take a long time to get that healing. You just be in the presence of God and you will know that you know that you know that you are healed and it is complete in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit wants me to announce tonight, these meetings. Secondly, in regard to the teaching that God has given to us, and I will do my best to speak about this area of God's love, but tonight I have prayed and I asked God that He reveal Himself in His love for us. And let's look at the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Where last night we talked about opening ourselves to the spiritual world. And we talked about how, continue to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And we speak about how our spirit contact the spirit world. Our soul helps us to be contacting our own self-consciousness, our own self and self-aware. Our body contacts the natural world. And in Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to talk a little bit more of that. And we talk about opening ourselves to the spiritual world. Being aware of our spiritual senses as much as we are aware of the natural senses. And the key, as we mentioned in the first of these meetings here, if you remember in the first meeting here on a Monday, I mentioned that the presence of God that is manifest through our life, Christ in us, God in us, is manifested based on Ephesians 3, directly proportional to the strength of our inner man. Because he prayed for the inner man to be strengthened, and then he prayed that Christ would dwell in them, and that the fullness of God would be present in them. And then we covered yesterday about our inner man being open to the spiritual world. And we talk about how it is like to open ourselves to the spiritual world, to be spiritually aware. Tonight, I need to balance it with showing forth that when we open ourselves to the spiritual realm, that we would know that we are in the right spiritual realm and atmosphere, not something we cook out, not something we think. When that realm is in direct harmony with God's realm. And God is love. Every time you open yourself to the spiritual realm, it's not so much reopening ourselves alone, but the only way we can sense the spiritual world correctly is when we line up, our spirit and our soul is lined up with Christ. As we mentioned, that the key to all the works of Jesus is in the Father dwelling in Him. And the key to the works of Jesus and the greater works of Jesus, John 14 verse 12, is Christ in us. Christ living in us and through us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the Holy Spirit has come in order to bring into reality Christ in us. And Jesus says that you will not be orphans, but He will send another Comforter who will be as real to us and in us and through us as if Christ Himself were physically present. Except that now He's invisible, He's a spiritual realm, and we need to know Him in the Spirit. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 even has a verse that tells us we don't know Christ anymore just in the flesh. We know Him in the Spirit. So it's important to understand that it's the Spirit of Christ who is alive within us. Now, when we talk about the Spirit and spiritual things, sometimes people begin to get queer and funny and peculiar about it, you know, and talk about, you know, or the realm of the Spirit, and they go, oh. Straight away, it's like a realm that very, very few people go into. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that our spirit, souls, and bodies are to be preserved blameless under the coming of Jesus Christ. Which means that at all times our spirit is functional. And what people fail is that they fail to recognize their quote-unquote spiritual moments. That they actually at times touch into that realm. The secret is how to remain in that realm by choice. And not just to hit it accidentally. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, which I believe you will have found by now, Ephesians chapter 3, in Paul's prayer for the church, which I'll read again in verse 14 onwards, 14 right on to verse 20, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He will grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works or energizes in us. See, it's in us. We should be emphasizing the past two nights. Now tonight we want to look at that word love, which is the word agape. We note here that when Christ dwells in our heart, the immediate effect is love. In that very same sentence. And here he's talking about a greater degree of Christ dwelling in our lives. After all, he is talking to Christians here who already were born again, baptized in water, baptized in the Spirit. These are the efficient Christians, strong in teaching of the Word. And he's praying for them that Christ may dwell in them. That means in a greater measure. So he's praying that Christ may dwell in them through faith. And then immediately within the same breath, he says, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Because when God manifests, God is love. So when God manifests, when Jesus manifests, some people want to know, what is that presence of God like? I know it can be energetic, I know it can be powerful, I know it can be awesome, but you can add all your adjectives to it, plus more, And wipe out the entire Webster's dictionary clean with your description of God's presence, you will have to recognize there's one common element: love. You take that out, it is different. Imagine what the fullness of love like. Imagine an atmosphere where it's so thick that every atom and every subatomic particle is love, that's the presence of God. Remember that when we were first born again, although we might not know it, and that's where we are learning about God's love. The Bible in the book of Romans chapter 5 tells us that when we were justified by faith in Christ Jesus, immediately, within the next few verses after Romans chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3 onwards, he says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Immediately. From day one, when we met Jesus. Now, some of us might have wept when we met Jesus. Some of us might have laughed when we met Jesus. Some of us must have been hysterical when we met Jesus. Some of us were quiet when we met Jesus. Some of us don't have any feelings when we met Jesus. Need to include you too. But somehow, whether we experience it in all our various forms or not, something within us knows that God loves us and has accepted us through Jesus Christ. And according to the Bible, we all receive the shedding of His love in our hearts. We all react differently to that love. We all even experience that love differently. But we all did receive His love shed abroad in our hearts. That was in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 3, the born again experience. And that was supposed to be only the beginning. We were supposed to learn to walk in that love. And as we walk in that love and walk in God, and yesterday night we talked about the five spiritual senses, which is linked to the five natural senses. And these five senses operate, basically when they operate, what you have is the threefold aspects according to our soul. Our soul has three aspects. Our intellect, our emotions, and our will. Because our spirit also has three aspects, communion, conscience, and intuition. But looking at our soul, which is the part where we are self-conscious most through our soul, where our intellect, our emotions, and our will is functional, all your five senses naturally is filtered into your soul. And your soul makes an intellectual decision, an emotional decision, or choose by your own free choice according to the external stimuli that you receive through your outlet five senses. We respond accordingly. Our soul is also in a central position where we are receiving from the spiritual realm, because there's spirit, soul, and body. The only contact point the body has with the spirit is through the soul. The only contact point the spirit has with the body is through the soul. So your soul is your main contact point, that is where your free will lies, that makes this decision and choice by what is being received. And your soul is receiving external stimuli from your five senses. Your soul, as we saw last night, is receiving from your five spiritual senses also, being made tangible unto you. It's except our soul is sometimes not trained or sensitive enough to filter what is coming from the spiritual realm. But it is receiving. And receiving from the spiritual realm, all that is coming affects our intellect. As last night I showed that it affects our mental process, where the Spirit of God brings to remembrance. And it can affect your emotional area too, where when you talk about, remember the disciples were sad, and Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So the fruit of peace in his life will affect their emotion and calm down. So there's an effect from the spiritual realm, the peace of God that passes understanding, that is not from this world, but from God in our spirit. The spirit of peace will produce peace in our soul. So of course our soul is emotionally affected. And our soul, of course, makes its decision. Our soul chooses. It makes a choice. Sometimes it's a wrong choice, sometimes it's the right choice. And sometimes people allow others to choose for them, to influence them overly. It's all our free choice. And being filtered in that sense, the main part about the soul is that we need our soul to line up to Jesus. And there are three avenues of Jesus. The mind of Christ, the emotion or affection of Jesus, and the will of Christ. See, those three affect us. And so our intellect must seek the mind of Christ. Our emotions must seek to line up with the affections of Christ. And our will must line up to the will of God and the will of Christ. The mind of Christ is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right towards the ending, when he talks about eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And he continues on talking about a spiritual man versus a natural man. And then he talks about the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. And then he ends up with a phrase there in 1 Corinthians 2 that says, but we have the mind of Christ. Talks about the mind of Christ, which includes having the thoughts of Christ flowing through us. And in Philippians chapter 1, when Paul wrote to the Philippine Christians, he tells them how he feels for them with the affections of Christ. And that's found, I'll give you the exact words very quickly and just a run through. The mind of Christ, if you're looking for the exact verse, is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, verse 16. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And affection of Christ is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, where Paul says, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. The word affection here in the Greek is splagna, 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 which is the word that is normally translated compassion. Compassion of Christ. So we have, and Paul feels the compassion and the splagna, affection of Jesus for the Philippians. And it needs to be functional in our life. And of course, the will of God, you can either take Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, where you present your body as a living sacrifice, and your mind is renewed and transformed, that you may know the will of God. Or you can take this one for Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, where as Paul is speaking in regard to God working in our life, in our will, in verse 13, for it is God who works or energizes in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So he's not talking that we should live our Christian life by our willpower. He's talking about how even our will is being energized by a greater force. It's God who puts the desire inside. In fact, willpower is not very powerful. It's desire power that God has placed in our lives that will drive us, the desires of God to do His will. And it's God who drives us. So we have the mind of Christ, the affections of Christ, the desires of Christ, the will of Christ driving us. And when those operate in our life, we are like Christ. So in proportion to how much we have yielded to the mind of Christ, or yielded to our emotions to the affections of Christ, or yield our own desires to the desires of Christ, in that same proportion, will we Christ-like in our life. And that applies whether we are in a ministry, doing pulpit ministry, or in public ministry, or where we are living our daily life one-to-one. Remember that Christ manifests all the time. Christianity is not just a 9-to-5 job, or a meeting time 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Christianity is 24 hours, where we learn to yield our mind to the mind of Christ. We learn to yield our emotions and affections to the affections of Christ. We learn to yield our desires to the desires of Christ. And the Bible says, we are the epistles of Christ. Where people read Christ in us. So that's why, to me, it's as important when we're sitting over the table talking, and that Christ be glorified there. As much as we could be in a meeting, in a crusade, having 10,000 people, and bringing the gospel and healing to those who have never heard of Christ, or to believers who are backslidden, turning them back to the Lord, or encouraging Christians in their life. It's the same. Whether we are ministering to one or two families and doing all that we need to do with the mind of Christ, with the emotions of Christ, with the desires of Christ, is the same as we minister as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher in our office. There's no separation. It's a 24-hour life that we learn. And it is a joy when we begin to function in that way. You don't separate ministry life from personal life, because all is one life in Christ. We don't separate church life from our personal life, because it affects every area of our life. And the whole effect is this, the word love. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, it tells us that when Christ in verse 17 dwell in our hearts through faith, that we being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. And it goes to this vocabulary that seems unending. With length, depth, height. What's he talking about? Talking about this largesse of Christ's love. The greatness, the splendor of Christ's love. It's as if one of us cannot comprehend. You need all the saints together to comprehend the greatness, the magnitude of this love that Christ has. Now, the word comprehend that is translated here in the English comes from the Greek word kata lambano. And the word lambano in the original Greek is not just mental comprehension. It means to receive, to take or to receive. Any Greek scholar will tell you, in fact, some of those are the first exercises that you do when you learn New Testament Greek. Lambano, I take or I receive. And he just adds the kata in front of it, which talks about, no, again and according to all the saints. So in a sense, that word comprehend doesn't just include, I'm sure it does include this comprehension or understanding of this love of God, but it includes this receiving, this experience, this taking and receiving of God's awesome love in Christ for each one of us. And it ends with the last bit in verse 19 that say, to know the love of Christ which passes understanding. Now, how can you know something which passes understanding? So he's talking in a whole new dimension here. To know that which is beyond understanding. And when that happens, it says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So how do I know when I open myself to the five senses in the spiritual realm, whether I'm operating on my own or in Christ? If it's in line with the mind of Christ, it will have love. If it's in line with the affections of Christ, it will have love. If it's in line with the desires of Christ, it will have love. Cannot run away from the fact that love affects all. If you notice 1 Corinthians 13, all the qualities of love are listed there. In old translation, it's about charity. But it's the word agape, which is the word love. And you notice that inside it, love affects our mind. Love thinker no evil. Love affects our motive and desire. And you're not easily provoked. And you only think good towards others. And love affects our will. Love affects our emotions. Love affects our mind. This wonderful love of God. Now this love of God, this knowing which is beyond intellect knowing. Why is it a knowing beyond knowing? You see, the word know in our English is reduced too many times to intellectual knowing. In the Hebrew comprehension of knowing and in the Greek comprehension of knowing, knowing includes also experiencing. Which is why the old Hebrew word that says, Adam knew Eve and she conceived. That's a whole different realm of knowing. You know, Adam was not standing there and say, "Hi Eve, I now know your name. Now go and give birth." Just an intellectual conversation and she got pregnant and she gave birth. No, it was knowing with the entire soul and body. An experience of Eve. In the New Testament, the word knowing has that quality. It has that quality of experiencing God in His fullness. Although it's the word ginosko, there are several Greek words for know, and it talks about knowing in different degrees. Ginosko is just a general word for know. And there are some words for know that goes into an experiential side, like the word ideo in the Greek, where we get the English word idea. And that knowing, the experience of God's love, you know how sometimes you know God loves you, but you don't understand. We haven't come to understand. And sometimes for some of us who are less on the feeling side, we are more on the intellectual side, we accept that God loves us, even though we don't feel it. See, they have the opposite reaction on some people. Or others, they hear the gospel, and by a decision of their volition, they choose to accept God's love. Even though they don't understand it intellectually and they don't quite have that much feelings yet. Because they're always told feelings will come later. You just accept what Christ has done. So we all come to Christ sometimes through one part of our soul more than the other. Very, some of us come to two parts of our soul to experience God's love. But whatever manner we experience God's love, we need all of our spirit, soul, and body to fully comprehend and experience God's love to understand how much He really loves us. Now there's a phrase there in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 which says here, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." The word "behold" is the Greek word "ideo," which is sometimes translated see, but most of the time translated know. Know the love of God. Know the manner of love that God has for us, that He should call us His children. And we could say from Ephesians chapter 3, the prayer that we read just now, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, that in proportion to how much we know that love, experience that love, transmit that love, whatever way you want to use the word katalambano or comprehend, we're all the same. In direct proportion are we filled with the fullness of God. See, one principle leads to another. In Ephesians chapter 3, we are told in verse 16 that our inner man is to be strengthened that Christ may dwell in our hearts. So we know that in direct proportion to how much we are strengthened, Christ can dwell and manifest. And then we are told in verse 19 to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now that sentence tells you in verse 19 that your knowing of this love affects your being filled with the fullness of God. And by that, my friends, you know that every fivefold minister, I want to let you know onto something that is now no secret. Every fivefold minister, when they operate, no matter how powerfully they are, whether it be William Branham or Catherine Kuhlman or any new evangelists or ministers that rise up in the next, 40, 50 years if Jesus tarries, they only operate based on their same five spiritual senses. Either they see, they hear, they smell, they taste, they touch in the spiritual realm. They may work directly with angels. They may work directly with the Holy Spirit, and the angels remain at the side. It's the same principle. It's only how differently they operate. It's only to what extent that they operate. It's the same principle. And it will be the same principle if Jesus tarries the next 50 years. If God were to raise up the next generation of our sons and daughters to replace us. That it's all the same that they have come to comprehend with their five spiritual senses, their spiritual realm. It's the same. And it will be the same for any one of us who are not necessarily called to the fivefold, but have the gifts of the Spirit functional in our life. Whether we be housewives, architects, lawyers, or any profession, when the gifts of the Spirit come, it operates. It is also through your five spiritual senses. We have given unto you the key. The whole works and overall plan, actually how it happens. It only happens differently, each person. Because they tune different part of their five senses, spiritual senses, that is, to God. Now the second part that I want to emphasize is this. Because as people open themselves to the spiritual world unfortunately is also filled with deception and demons. And also sometimes people think that they have gone into the spiritual realm when actually they're still in the soul realm. So how do we tell whether they actually, if thus says the Holy Spirit, I perceive, or just from their own soul? Right? One of the three. How do we tell? By the love of God. I don't care whether that meeting is as quiet as a frozen Presbyterian meeting, or as noisy as a holy roller Pentecostal meeting swinging from the chandelier. The presence of God, the love of God, will remain the same. In the midst of all the noise and hallelujahs, you feel that awesome love, if it's God. In the midst of that quiet, crystal clear,
You know, it's not only the glass cathedral, it's the ice cathedral. Everyone is quiet. Shh. Some ministers like it that way. It's a matter of preference and style. So some people ask, why is it that in some meetings, you need to shout to get your healing? You know, you say, come on, those who need healing, shout unto the Lord. Or some of these big, mighty, booming voice evangelists. And others like Catherine Kuhlman say, and someone sincerely want to speak in tongues. Doesn't even allow the sound to come out. And someone says out loudly, praise God! You there, keep quiet. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. See, wait a minute, how come I'm grieving? On the other meeting, they tell me I should be shouting, rejoicing. It is because of the personality of the fivefold minister. What kind of atmosphere they need to tune their five senses. Some are farm boys and farm girls. They need that quietness. Some are city boys and city girls and who become fivefold minister. I mean, using city and farm just as an allegory. Where they're so used to the noise, you know. You could have, you know, next door, you know, a terrorist just bomb and explode and everything. And they'll still be operating in the gifts of the Spirit, right, over here. Because they're just, you know, they can shut themselves to the noise and the noise doesn't affect them. And although some evangelists, they always don't like any distraction and they always shoo and chase all the children out. And if one child scream, you know, they'll give the stare. It's like you just committed the cardinal sin. And the poor mom with the kids feels so guilty. You know? She might come for some healing, but she crawl away in great condemnation. And I know some evangelists who even scold you if you get up in the time when they want to bring healing to go to the toilet. I mean, you're urgent, you need to go to the toilet. Nobody move! The Holy Ghost is here! You know the Holy Ghost will move away. I don't know the Holy Ghost moving away just because someone has to go to the toilet. What do you expect the congregation to do? No? Each one bring their own potty into the seats or what? So, we have to pattern our ministries on Jesus. See, some of these new things we invent over 2,000 years of Christianity, they come from Jesus. Remember, it was the disciples who tried to stop people from coming to Jesus? Not Jesus. Remember, it was the disciples who tried to stop children from coming to Jesus? Not Jesus. How do you think the atmosphere was on the Sermon on the Mount? You know, you think that there were ushers there carrying this big whip. You on the paddock there, the daffodils are, keep quiet, and they throw a baton at them. No, it was just a normal atmosphere. And Jesus could speak it forth and preach. Because let me tell you, when the genuine presence of God is there, people automatically become more reverent. They do. Sometimes because we don't have that presence, we try to duplicate it and produce it. Or we're like Samson, we're used to shaking ourselves in a certain way to get anointing, and then sometimes we forgot that we're really bald and we're still shaking our heads, you know, trying to get the anointing. Because we're used to a certain way in which anointing works. And of course we do want every fivefold minister to do what's comfortable for them. But the body of Christ need to understand. Of course, you can give respect to each one's idiosyncrasies. But I want to call it that. Those are just idiosyncrasies. They are not the word of the Holy Ghost. It's just the minister has his needs of tuning his senses to the spiritual realm, to hear from God, to do what God wants to do. And that's their comfort level. And now, in all of them, No matter what it was, as I mentioned, it's the love of God that is the most important. That love of God that I have no words to describe. I can only share an experience with you. So hard to describe the love of God. In 1986, January 17, the Lord Jesus appeared to me and taught me about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. After that, the atmosphere continued right to the next day. I didn't sleep the whole night. I was just in this glow or atmosphere of impact of what He has spoken. Couldn't get over it. It just kept going through my mind and thoughts. And so not having slept, and I just, the whole night, I just waiting on God and waiting on God. And then in the early hours of the morning, I knew that it was almost morning light by then, but the sun hasn't risen yet. And I just, in this awesomeness of how wonderful Jesus was and how glorious His ways and the ways of His Spirit was. And then suddenly came a light, like a bright light, a spot of light, just came from outside and into the room. And then when it came into the room, I was not frightened. I could feel that presence of God. And it stopped right in front of a few feet from me. And I said, "Lord, I know it's You and I just love You." The moment I said that, the light spread itself out into words. And it spelled the words, "Holiness unto the Lord." And then the words came near and touched me on the forehead. When it came and touched me on the forehead, I was suddenly transported somewhere out into space, looking down. I believe it was just my spirit looking down at the earth. And I felt the love of God like I've never felt before. I felt what God's love was. And to describe the experience, it is like, you know how sometimes when you look at people who are sick or who are destitute, and you feel this compassion for them, and you really feel for them, that compassion, you multiply it a million, million, billion times. And that was what it felt like. And that was that sense of that love from God flowing, and I knew it was just a small measure. And yet it was so powerful, flowing into my heart and into the world. When it says, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," I felt what it was like, and I could hardly stand it. And that love was so great that God felt, and God is feeling that right now, always onto the earth, towards us, every one of us on the earth, that their love was so great that it sort of covered the whole planet, so that everything that took place could be felt by God. So that if one sparrow were to drop to the ground and die, God felt it. That was how sensitive that love was for His creation, for His people, for all that He had. And all the sin and all the wrong things was causing Him pain. You know, the ones who can love you most are those that you love. If you don't love, you don't feel the pain. But those you love, if they are not where they're supposed to be, ask any loving mother who agonizes for the children who don't walk in the Lord. Who feels the pain more, the son who is going through their life or the mother? Let me tell you, the mother. It's in the human level. God feels, and it was so great, and at times it was so, not painful in a physical way, but there's a sort of for lack of a better word, agony. That every single sin is not just hurting us. It was hurting God. And I knew what it was like when the Bible says, and God repented with sorrow that He had made man in the Old Testament. When He felt sorrow, I just had a tiny glimpse and touch of what that sorrow felt like. It was so painful. They say, God, I don't know how you can stand it. I don't know how you can tolerate us in all our imperfection. That we are causing you hurt. We are not just hurting ourselves. We are hurting you. Like the prodigal son says, you know, he didn't just sin against his father. He sinned against God. And we are causing him pain. And I could hardly stand in. I said, God, I don't know how you can take it. But yet, in spite of the agony and pain he felt, he still keeps loving. There's nothing that changes his love, no matter what we have done. No principality, no power, no death, no angels could change what he feels for us. That is the greatness of his love. And after this day, every time I think about that situation, I make me cry. Because I know until this whole planet is perfected, the Father grieves. Yes, there is joy in the presence of heaven and angels when one sinner turns to God. Because there's one more less pain that God is bearing for His creation. No wonder Paul says in Romans say that even the creation groans with pain. When something is not going right, it groans. When something is not right in our soul or in our body, it's painful. When the creation of God is not right, God feels that pain. And yet His love keeps pouring onto our life. But the thing is that we don't understand that love. We have no idea how great that love is. And we sometimes just take it for granted. Yes, God so loved the world. We talk about repentance from sin and all those things. Let me tell you, if you understand how painful sin is to God, you will never do it again. If you knew the price that Christ and the Father paid for sin, all the pleasures the devil can offer you fall short. To just wanting to see the smile on God's face again, when He doesn't have to feel our pain. And you know the problem with the prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. It's very hard to describe God's love, and we have to go to allegories to understand it. In Luke chapter 15, we know the story of the prodigal son and the wonderful father. And the Bible, the main thing the father has is the father has splagna or compassion. The Greek word is found in that parable. And it talks about how the younger son came to the father in Luke 15 verse 12 and says, the younger one of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And the father loved him. And he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' When he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion." The word splakna. "And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found,' and they began to be merry." The father loves the son so much that he was so full of joy when his son returned. That is a beautiful story. But I want you to know that we are like sometimes a prodigal son, and we don't really know the father. We think we did, but we don't. Because you know, when the prodigal son wanted to come back to the father, he was still thinking about himself. He didn't come to the father because I want to know what my father is like, or I want to know my father. You know why he came back? He came back because the father, he remembered his father's servants had better food. He came back because of selfishness still. He knew his needs could be met. And he said, in verse 17, "I'm hungry now. I'm perishing with hunger. I am perishing with hunger." Was he thinking about a father? No. He was thinking about himself. He said, "I'm the one hungry. I got this rotten food to eat. But my father's house, even his servants are fed better food. I don't mind going to my father." Not because he want to know the father. Not because he want to be like the father. But because he remembered even the father's servant had better food than what he had. He was still thinking about himself. Was the father concerned? No. The father still took him in. Loved him, kissed him, clothed him, put sandals on him, put rings on him, killed the feather calf, celebrate, because the father was joyful for his son. He loved the son. Although the son still does have no idea of all that the father had gone through. That sometimes is the story of us and the father. We came to Christ in our need. We came to Christ for emotional need, physical need, anything. And sometimes we are still having the prodigal son vision of the father. There's food in the house. There's provision. I'm taken care. But we are not in that realm where we say, "I want to know what my father is like. I want to know this love that the father has." No doubt he was blessed, but he still had no idea. He was left hanging. And at that time, the elder son came and heard all these good things happening to the his younger brother. And in verse 25, his older son was in a field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. He was angry and would not go in. And the father has to come out and pleaded with him and say, So he answered and said to his father, in verse 29, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have transgressed your commandment. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. As soon as this son of yours came, was devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And in verse 31, he said to him, "Son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It is right that we should be merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found." You know the problem with the elder brother? He also didn't know the father. He was not thinking of the father. He was also thinking of himself. I did this, I did that, I was with you. But yet, he had no compassion on the father's compassion. He does not know the joy that the father felt. And sometimes we are like that elder brother. We have been in church so long. We have done this, we have done that. But we have no idea that without love, everything is in vain. Tongues without love is an empty symbol. Prophecy, faith without love is nothing. You could give all your goods to the poor and your body to be burned and have not love. We are nothing. The problem with the younger and the elder son was they don't know the love of the father. Those who live in sin do not know how much the father hurts and loves them. Those who live in self-righteousness have no idea of how great the father's love is. And the person that is most for us to look at in this parable is the father. Neither son really know him. Even though the elder son says, "I have been with you all this time." No idea that God is a God of love. And we know what Christianity can be like without love. We have blights in our Christian history of the Inquisition period, when the rule of law entered the church so much that we forget that Christianity is a faith of love. We take away love, we have lost Christ. Love is the key. And it's important that when the Spirit of God manifests signs and wonders, demonstrations of the Spirit, that we don't lose sight that the whole reason why everything takes place is because, for God so loved the world. And whether someone gets prayed and they're standing up and they are touched by God's love, or they get prayed and they fall down under the power, it's not because people fall down or don't fall down that's important. It's that people are touched by God's love. And the whole reason why any church exists every Sunday, because of the love of the Father. Why is this love so important? Because this love is the crucible of everything in which the enemy cannot penetrate. The enemy cannot imitate this kind of love.
he is not capable of. He can make snakes appear like Moses' rod, but he cannot make the same kind of agape, unconditional love that only God can bring forth. For perfect love casteth out darkness. And why is this love important in any atmosphere? I'll give you a whole series of scriptures now in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. It says here in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. The word working is the word anagēs. So you could have translated this verse. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith energized through love. You know where great faith comes? From great love. How do we bring an atmosphere where signs and wonders can come? What was Jesus like when he walked the shores of Galilee? He was the personification of love. He was love. There was not a selfish bone in his body. He was love personified. Love flowed out through him all the time. And that's why it produced this amount of faith. Now, if faith is energized by love, you take away love, faith has no more energy. We are incapable. And faith is everything, for without faith it's impossible to please God. Romans 14, in the end, what is not of faith is sin. Faith is so important in our Christian life. 1 John 5, faith overcomes the world. Now, if this faith does not have the energizing of love, it will grow weak. But if we get back into the love of God, there's two directions to face. One is to see how much God loves us. 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has for us. If you think you know God's love, you haven't found it yet. Even if we could live 1,000 years and 10,000 years, you would not have touched on a tiny drop of how much God loves us. So much love that He has for us. If you only know how much He loves you, that love would drive out all self-condemnation in your life. That love will drive out all avenues of trying to pommel and punish yourself. Like the prodigal son. Did the prodigal son realize how much the father loved him? No. He was willing to come to be a servant, but he was showered with love. Not one word from the father that condemn him. Instead, the Father showered him with love. Everything, of course, symbolic form too. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8, if you are in a position where you are not sure all the things you have done in your life and where you are in your life, is where God can really reach out to you. You have Romans 8 verse 28 that says, all things work, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The word called according to His purpose is fulfilled in Christ. We are the called out ones. Ecclesia. There's only one more condition inside. That we love God. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what mistakes you have made. If somehow in your heart you could find something in you that says, I love you, God. I love you, God. Still, I still love you. Thank you. You love me and I love you. Everything around you will start working out for good. From that point onwards. Before that point, it was the power of God hasn't entered yet, the atmosphere yet. But the moment you declare your love for Him, and how can we love Him? 1 John tells us, we love Him because He first loved us. So you don't have to keep thinking of, how can I love Him? Because 1 John tells you that your love and your ability to love Him is based on your ability to understand, to comprehend, to receive this love that God has for you. In verse 19, 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. All you have to do is look at God's love. Remember 2 Corinthians 3:18 again. Katoptrinomai, mirroring. You have to see God's face of love. And when you can see finally, take away the eyes of the prodigal son. Take away the blindness of the elder son. And see the heart of the Father. If you can see how much He loves you, if you can accept that He loves you, and His love is unconditional, if you could accept His love for you, and you open yourself to His love, you will find some place in your heart that says, I love you too. We love Him because He first loved us. And then Romans 8:28 can work for you. And God waits for the cry. All the angels around you. I've seen it in the spiritual world. All the angels are around. Every single human being. God tries to do. Even though sometimes we don't know Him. But any indication. When the devil and all circumstances are trying to drown them, to destroy them, the angels are all waiting for just one tiny cry, one whisper, even a desire to love God, even a desire to know God, even an idea of wanting to come to know God or love God. And how much more powerful even a whisper that says, I love you, God. I still love you. I don't understand, but I love you and I choose to love you. The moment you release that love, Romans 8:28 is empowered. Everything in your life will start turning around to become good. Even the most darkest vile evil can be banished. And the devil is shocked because of how out of the ashes he can still bring forth gold and silver. And when you face the greatest enemy or your greatest battle in Romans 8, verse 37, it says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors, and there's a condition, through Him who loves us. Now, if you take the last four words out, or five words, the whole verse collapses. Many Christians remember the first part, but they forgot the last five words. They only remember the first part. We are more than conquerors through Him. That's not the whole verse. That's not the whole verse. There are still three more words. It is not we are more than conquerors through Him, full stop. We are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Now, to conquer means we have to do something. To be more than conquerors means you benefit from someone who has done the conquering. That's why you're more than a conqueror. He didn't just make us conquerors. He let us enjoy what Jesus has done for us. And the ability to be more than conquerors rests in one phrase and one phrase alone, the last three words. Through Him who loves us. How confident are you that God loves you? According to that confidence that you have in His love for you, which of course will produce your love for Him, you will be more than a conqueror. And let me tell you, there is no darkness like the darkness when you think you're not loved. It is worse than the darkness of any kind. And that's the darkness that the devil and the world will drive you to. To make you think that no one loves you. That God doesn't love you. Because if He can succeed, now you know why He wants to succeed. To make you doubt that He loves you. To make you doubt that He cares for you. Because if He succeeds, He has removed you from the position of being more than a conqueror to a position of being conquered. It is that rest that we have in His love that makes us unbeatable. Not our perfection. Peter and John, when they did the miracle in Acts 3, they say, "Men and women, why are you looking at us? As if by our own holiness, a righteousness that we did this." Says, no, it's by the name of Jesus and through faith which comes through Him that this is done. They had confidence in His love for them. And their faith was quickened and energized by love. The love of God for us and our love for God. That's why sometimes we are like the leper that comes to God. If you are willing, make me clean. You don't question God's ability. Some people don't even believe God exists. But those who believe God exists, they know God is able to do everything. But they have no confidence that God loves them personally and is willing to do it just for you. But when that love is revealed into our heart and you know that God loves you, and you allow that love to come in, you are more than a conqueror. Like Jesus, He was always moving compassion. And even in our daily Christian life, there are many, many, many verses I could show you all over. When you begin to see them in this light, that the power of the Christian life rests in love. Simple verses like Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, many Christians, you know why you struggle with sin in your life? You got Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 as a theology, but you left up the last 8 words. Your verse stop after the word Son of God, when it's just a comma. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. Yes, theologically you know. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Theologically you know. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Yes, you know in your head. But you left out the last 8 words. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. My faith is in the confidence that God loves me. That Christ loves me. Our faith is in His love. Faith began, was born out of love. The story of all our lives starts with John 3:16. We didn't love God first. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when we saw His love, our faith arise. And that faith in His love was not supposed to have been taken away after we were born again. That faith in His love was supposed to grow. Ephesians 3. Grow deeper, wider, longer, broader, higher, so that we are confident not in our own perfection, not in ourselves, not in our works. We are confident that He loves us unconditionally. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves us so much He wants to heal for us. Heal us. Set us free. That is behind every healing. You know, every sign and wonder He did is not just to glorify a man of God or to glorify a church or a work or a ministry. Every miracle, sign and wonder He did is because He's saying, I love you. Every time a blind eye sees, it is because He says, I love you. Every time a lame man walks, it's because He says, I love you. Every time a cripple makes whole, it's because He says, I love you. Every time a cancer disappears and a body is fully restored, it's because He's saying, I love you. He loves us. And He never stopped loving us. Words cannot express that love. I don't know how else, brethren, to convey that love that He has for us. We could talk over and over again tonight and repeat and shout a million, billion times how much He loves us. But only when God opened the eyes of your understanding and your heart, let the love of God shine through, that you truly know that He loves you. And you know He loves you so much. Some of you may have incurable sickness, disease. He loves you so much, He says, I want to give you another 10 years, another 20 years to love me and serve me. Receive my healing. I love you so much, he tells those in the ministry, that I want to give you this gifting so that you can serve me because I love you. All of us, fivefold ministry, we succeed because we come to know his love. We are confident in operating his gifts because we are confident that he is with us and he will work with us because he loves us. And every one of us in any position, the whole secret is God loves us. But yet, there is another aspect. And the greatest aspect is this. Not only does God love you and you respond and God loves and you love God back. There's one last phrase which is the glorious church. When we become the personification of His love, and all we can think about is how our lives can become love to others. When John 3:16 becomes 1 John 3:16, for no greater love than this does any man have than he's willing to lay down his life for others. Jesus gave his life for us, and we stop thinking about ourselves and start loving others, giving others. When a preacher stands up to preach on Sunday, he's not thinking about his message, he's thinking about how to convey the message of God that will bring his people closer to his love. And the preacher comes on Sunday knowing that he just wants to love the people. And every Christian comes to God knowing, oh God, I know you love me. I know you know I love you back. But I want to be loving others again. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The greatest is this glimpse of the glorious church. When one fine day, we are so satisfied with God's love. We are so full of God's love. Ephesians 3 answered. That there's not even a shadow of a doubt within us that God loves us. And there's not a shadow of a doubt that we do really love Him. And then our eyes turn to the world and we love the world the way God so loved the world. Where we are not even conscious of ourselves, of our needs, but we are conscious of God's love to the world. That, my friends, will be the most powerful revival that the world has ever seen. A glimpse of that was in the book of Acts. When they love each other so much that they even gave what they have. Bible says there's not a single poor one among them. It's a glimpse of that. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you give us this vision, this understanding of your love for us. We ask, O God, that you reveal the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, the width of this love that you have for us. And it's by this love that we operate. In this love that we operate. And you have given us your commandment, Jesus. When you said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Because in that commandment is the power of the greater works. The power, O Lord, of great faith to do signs and wonders. To be the witness you want us to be. And Father, tonight we come to you knowing how great your love is for us. Knowing, Father God, that you love us so much. That you want us, O Lord, to rejoice in this love that we don't fully understand. And that in whatever way we can, we will bring this love unto others. So we thank you for this love. We worship you for this love. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will quicken your understanding in our hearts, in our lives. Let our mind be filled with your love. Emotions be filled with your love. Our will and desire be filled with your love, Lord. And in this atmosphere of love, we open our spirits to you, to allow you to minister through us. The Holy Spirit come alive in us, and we will know the fullness of all that you want to do, Father, in our life, in our hearts, and in our minds. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And as we sit in remain seated for a while, and just lift up your hands and just worship God and thank Him for His love in your own way. And we just allow the practical sessions to come forth. Oh Father, we thank you. Holy Mehberiandala Mahashiriya Tarabate Kibriya Tarabashiriya Tarabas. Kibriya Tarabashiriya Tarabate Kibriya Tarabate Kibriya Tarabate Kibriya Tarabash. Didikabahatala Bashiti Biriya Tarabate Kalabash. Tarabahate Kibriya Tarabahate Kibriya Tarabata Kalabate Kibriya Tarabash. Karabahate Kibriya Tarabate Kibriya Tarabash. Diriya Tarabahate Kibriya Kalabate Kibriya Tarabate Kibish. Karabahate Kibriya Tarabahate Kibriya Tarabahasa Kalabashi Kibriya Tarabash. We thank you, we worship you, we praise you, Lord. We minister grace and worship unto you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We worship you. And we just want to call our sister. Yes, could you come here just for a while? Yes, you can. Just for a while. And I just want you to know that when God's love flows through your heart, what happens is that as you open your five spiritual senses to the Lord, and you let the drawing of your love, you know, the pool of love, I call it, the drawing of compassion. Remember how Jesus, if he was moved with compassion? And so when you have compassion, let's say, you know, when I look at my sister and I feel the compassion of God towards her life, and in that compassion, as I hold her, and this is where purity is important. Because as you open your spirit and you contact another individual, right? Now, as the moment I contact her, I begin to sense all kinds of things. But in the atmosphere of love, and only in the atmosphere is it reliable. I repeat. Only in the atmosphere of love. Only when you feel God's love towards people. And I sense the drawing of love towards a sister. And we thank you, Father. We worship you. And we thank you, Father. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Father. And I could sense, like, in my spirit, you know, there are two signals that come, and I had to interpret the signals. One of the first signals is a slight, not that painful, but just a slight sensation on my right side of my body, and my body, and a sensation on the back part of my left leg. Don't fully know what that means, but in the atmosphere of love, the moment you contact, open yourself to the Spirit, and I could sense it in the Spirit, and that's where you can zoom in one by one, the ministry of the Lord, and flow in the things of God. And Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your touch in this physical body. We do know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit ministers to our sister. And Lord, you just minister your love. Every gift of your Spirit operates through your love. Father, you call her forth by your love. Fiki bolamate ki bitas. Rata ke nege fedian tolomoshini antalamash. For there are times in your life that you have cried out to the Lord, that you would know Him, that you would know the manifestation of His love. And yes, indeed, the Lord would take away from you the garments of mourning and replace them with the garments of praise and worship. And the Lord would put upon you even His spirit of love and His spirit of joy. And we thank You, Father God, for Your touch upon our sister's life. And Father, right now, I pray, yes, I sense it now. We thank You, Father. Yes, from time to time you have this pressure on the head area, and we pray in Jesus' name for that to be released. It's almost like sometimes it feels almost like a headache coming to you. And Father, we just release it. And thank You, Father, for Your healing touch, healing grace. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your grace, Your healing upon her. And Father, whatever it is, the sensation is on the back areas of the ankles or joints, we ask the Lord for Your spirit. Touch. We thank You, Lord. Yes, I see a picture now coming. And it's a picture of you walking forth in a garden. And it's full of flowers and plants. And as you're walking forth, I see two other people with you. One is a child and another is a young lady. And I don't know what they mean to you, but there's joy that's coming forth to you. And whether these are people you're praying for or your loved ones, just know that this is the word that the Lord has for you, that the Lord has heard your prayer, that the Lord will touch these lines, the Lord will bless you and cause you to bring forth His healing grace in Jesus' name. Amen, my sister. Yeah, that's God's love for you. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And so, pastors, afterward, I allow you to flow and minister. That in a group, you know, God's love is always there for everyone. But sometimes His love pulls you and draws you. Then you will know that His love is zooming onto someone and He is bringing forth something out of their life. But right now, as you see there's something, I just feel this pool of love towards you. And that's because God is saying that it's already taken place. All those things that you have wanting to take place in your physical body, in your healing, in your touch. And I know you to a certain extent because we have been together in those past meetings, that it's come to its fullness and something in it is breaking forth in your life, and you would know it even in dreams and visions that's coming unto you, and you would know that this is the breakthrough that has come forth even upon your life. And from here I feel it bouncing, flowing forth to you. Father, oh Father, we worship You. We worship You, Lord. We praise You. We thank You, Lord. A name comes to me, and not an ordinary name, it's a Bible name. See, as I hold your hands, my spiritual ears hear Anna, the prophetess. And so my mind, and this is where manifestation and interpretation, and my mind will interpret it, rightly or wrongly, my mind will interpret that somehow your life is something like that. Somehow you have that tremendous gift of intercession and prayer. And that gift that God has, like Anna the prophetess, God gives unto you in many ways.
and will cause you to be such an intercessor. And yes, indeed, because of your prayers, your children are where they are today. And because of your prayers, the Lord bless you. Just as He blessed Anna the prophetess, and she was given special giftings and blessings so that even at her latter days, God gave her a glimpse of baby Jesus. You're not going to see baby Jesus. You're going to see the glory of Jesus. And the Lord will bless you as you enter deep into the realm of prayer and intercession, as love flows forth from your life, where the Lord will reveal to you a glimpse of His glory, where you will see the Lord Jesus on the throne. And then the second scripture is coming to me. It's the scripture for the Gospel of John, when Jesus met Nathanael. Because you have believed this, you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So because your faith flows so easily, the Lord will open the realm of heavens to you. And you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And you will see the glimpse of the manifestation of God's glory in His church. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And ministers of God, I just want you to come forth in this time to impart that into your lives. And again, fresh tonight. Thank you, Jesus. And pastors, come forth again. Put your hands out this way. It's different tonight. And my role, my call is to raise fivefold. And that's all that I always do over and over again. Put forth your hands this way. And tonight, and I'm praying a different prayer tonight for your lives, and that is that God will not just have the gift operate in your life, but God would also, as you open to God, you open yourself to the spirit realm and open to His love for His people, that He would cause you to know how His love flows, and He would give you not only the gifts of the Spirit, but an accuracy in operating the gifts of the Spirit. And He give you a precision in the gifts of the Spirit operating upon your life, so that you know that this is God. And you, as long as you never walk out of God's love and always remain in that love, this impartation of this accuracy, and remember, it's going to open your eyes, open your ears, open your senses, so that as you operate in that ministry gifts of God, you're going to sense the flow of His Spirit. You know the direction, the precision of His flow, and your ministry to your church, to the people you call to, wherever you minister, is going to come with a precision. Thank you, Father. Tonight, Lord, make them precision instruments, Lord, to you. We thank you, Father, that you cause the precision to come upon their heart and upon their life, Father, so that they know, Lord, this flow of your love, this directional flow of your love, Father God, so that they would know not just the general love for the body of Christ, but they know the precise love when you zoom in, Lord, like a telescopic lens upon one individual, upon one family, upon one area, Father. We thank you for the precision of this love that comes to their lives, Lord, that will cause them to be a blessing, O God, upon their congregation, O Lord. We thank you, Father, for this measure of your love upon their lives. We praise you. We thank you, Father, and open them, O Lord. Open them, Lord, to the precision of the Spirit, Lord. Open their hearts, their mind. Let the mind of Christ, the affections of Christ, the desires of Christ, saturate in their heart, in their mind, in their being, in their body. We thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, we praise you. We worship you, Lord, that you seal this work in their lives. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now, let you turn and face the congregation. And it's different tonight. And as you face the congregation, if you, any one of you sense a drawing towards any one of these, just lift up your hands and I'll flow with you and help you in your direction. Okay? If you sense, as you look at the congregation, this is what I sense. This is what sometimes I feel. That you sense God's love. You see, the first sense is God's love. You have to sense God's love. So it's not just opening. It's you've got to sense God's love. And then you sense God's love for everyone. And then God particularly seems to focus on one or two individuals. For some reason, something, someone made you focus on how much God loves this person. You might not even know what's going to come next. But if you're willing to step up, more will come. Praise the Lord. I'm here with you. Congregation is here, very cooperative here, wanting to be blessed. As much as we all want to bless, we all want to be blessed with whatever God wants to bless. And you don't mind, because whether it comes through me, comes through them, is Jesus. He's in our midst. Same work of the Spirit, same impartation. We are all instruments. It's only Jesus invisibly ministering. We are only carrying out in the physical what is happening in the spiritual. Because what is happening in the spiritual is Jesus is stretching out His hands upon us. There are angels about us. Sometimes there are guardian angels for everyone here. Sometimes the guardian angel pulls your look, your direction in the area. And you know. Because your angels that are with you, that are missing with you, cooperate with their angels, which all cooperate together with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, there's a host of heaven here. Every time you minister, there's a host of invisible things happening. Although physically we only see human beings. But when your eyes look into the spiritual realm and not this realm, with the love of God, those things happen. Praise the Lord. Raise your hands if anyone you sense any drawing. Yes? He?
Him.
Okay, let's bring him here. Okay. You and it's your choice whether you want to come to him or him come to you. Okay, that's your flow in the spirit. So you like him to sit down here?
Relax whatever.
Okay.
Take it easy. Yeah.
And all the rest of us, let's all stretch off our hands and pray for Phil, even as a minister and minister. And as you open your heart and mind, let's see what the Spirit has. Because I'm here helping along too, and seeing in the Spirit too. We thank you, Father.
Just as I looked at you, I just sensed the Spirit of God just wanting to touch your life. And I see that the Lord's just reaching out to you and wanting to really minister to you. There's a real cry deep in your own heart for that, to know the love of God, the reality of God. But I also see that there's a sense of caution and fear. And it's like there's been a wall around your life. You are protected. And you've been afraid to make your needs known. There's a sense in which you've projected a strong front. But inside, you have a deep cry and a deep need. And the Lord tonight has touched your spirit and touched your life. And there was a sense in which you were saying, Lord, what about me? Lord, I'd like to know you. And the Lord wants you to know He has not forgotten you. He knows you. He knows everything about you. And I just see the Lord coming and touching those areas of your life that you have been vulnerable in, and melting you and ministering deep into your own spirit, even right now, as you've been sitting in the presence of the Word, or that the reality of the Word that you've been listening to, it's been going into you, it's been touching you. And so, Father, tonight I just release that which you desire to give my brother tonight of the person of Christ. Father, I thank you it's your desire to give your Son to him in that way that is your pleasure. So tonight, give him his, that portion that is from your heart, Father, of your Son, Jesus. And minister into that part of him that has been crying out and desiring to know you in a deeper way. We just speak that release right now over his life. Lord, by your Spirit, that which you've purposed, that which you've desired, that which you've promised. It was the promise that the Father made of giving that love to this man. And so, Father, we just release that at that measure of which he can contain it, at that measure that can touch him. And, Father, I pray that it would increase, it wouldn't go away, it would just continue to increase on his life. Each day as he wakes, he would become more and more aware as he awakens to love. Lord, awaken his spirit to love. Open his eyes, Lord, to love. We thank you love opens our eyes, Lord. It's love that opens our eyes. So, Father, tonight I just join with him today in his own personal need and release that which is his portion. Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You can be seated. Phil, your rest will remain there. Can I have your hand? And every time I hold a hand of a person, open my spirit to all that is in a person, sometimes you can pick up anything in their beings, in their body, when the love of God is flowing. We thank you, Father. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you, Father. Oh, we bless you. We thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. Not much, but there's a slight area of some shoulder area and something abdominal area. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We thank you. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Yes, in your bladder area, we thank you, Father. We worship you, we praise you. Lord, let your blessing, healing, touch. We worship you. We thank you, Father. And as much as I open my sense of touch to the Spirit to sense his body, in the shoulder areas, I could also open, and without realizing it, there was a picture that comes, and I see you. Oh, it's another one that I'm not expecting. Something on the right ear. Thank you, Father. It's a strange sensation. I cannot describe what the sensation is on the right ear. And it's like an echo. So I cannot. You see, I got a manifestation, but I just can't interpret it. And all I can see is I can see a vision, a picture of you standing before a wooden object, and there's a tremendous, tremendous release. We thank you, Father. And as I zoom in into that, I realize that at some point, at some place where you were at some funeral service, there was a presence that came to you that sort of swept through you that, wow, there is a realm in the spirit that I have yet to know. And there was a sort of, if I can use these words, handshake, a sort of stirring, curiosity, even if I could use those words, of that realm of the spirit and the wondering of what's happening there. And that has sort of brought some quickening in your spirit, a sort of thirst, a sort of hunger, a sort of knowing the frailty of life and wanting to know of the realm of eternity, the spiritual world and the spiritual realm. They've been driving you. And from that day onwards, why it was significant was because God has assigned special angels. Now I know what that right ear is. That at times in the morning, you have heard like a whisper in your right ear. Sometimes in the dead of night, and in the hours in the morning, sometimes you're not sure, am I awake? Am I hearing this? And it's like the supernatural coming to you. Is that exactly true? Praise the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. And when you open yourself up. Now, how you can are able to tell more precisely depend on your John 15 verse 3. How clean you are internally. So the more sense of His fullness and love and all you have is Jesus coming out, the more it flows. And we're going to give each one of you one person to flow with, and we'll flow with you tonight. Yes, Malcolm. Some of you I know already pick up. Okay, you didn't tell me, but I already know you pick up. Right, so I'm going to give you your turn. Yes.
Sort of like a heat and a presence of the Lord, and that you have a beautiful spirit, and He wants you to know that He is pleased with you, and we're pleased with your spirit. You have a meek and a beautiful spirit, and that God is going to bring to you a great joy. He's going to bring a tremendous joy into your heart, and that, but you do have a pleasing spirit to the Lord. And the whole realm of the supernatural and the dimension of the Spirit of God is going to really open up. You're going to see and hear things that will be just a real clarity also. But He's pleased with you. You do have a gracious spirit, and there's a genuineness there for both of you. People will be drawn to that. You both have around you an atmosphere of genuineness.
Praise God, Malcolm. You had had dreams where you had seen some of your loved ones in the past, and some of these dreams you're not quite sure, you know, is it real, is it not real? And they will come to you again, because there are some, hopefully the next few days we'll talk about dreams, but some of those dreams that you had that you're not sure were actually spiritual encounters in your life. Yeah. Praise God.
Thank you. Another one for you.
Thank you.
When you were up there, that is what I saw, and I just saw you very busy in the kitchen. And the other thing that came to me very strongly was stress. And so what I'm going to do is just going to pray over that whole situation. Father, we thank you. And I believe that your time in the Word has been frustrating. And this meeting, and I think you've been to the meetings before as well, has been refreshing. The frustration has come because of some confusion that you've had for some time. Some things have happened and you can't reconcile what's happened and your understanding of the Word. God wants you to release, and you have done already, I believe, tonight. You have released some things to God. And one thing I think that's been a key is the fact that God does love you, and that love is in you. And that God has given you a lot to share, and you've been finding it hard to do so. And yet, in the next few, I believe, days, you're going to have plenty of opportunity to be ready to share what you've had for some time to share. You've been afraid of different times, you've had fear, or you've been fearful. And how to conduct yourself, how to handle, especially I believe a certain person in your life, I'm just getting it as a certain person in your life that has affected you, that has impacted you. And that certain person is no longer in your life. And God would say that I have already, and I will send someone who can fill that spot, so to speak. I had another one for someone, but yes. This young man. Sir? Would you like to come up here? Sure.
Let's stretch up our hands to them in the atmosphere of ministry and let the Holy Spirit minister to Pastor Lau.
Stretch up your hand. Fire and focus are the two words that came very strong. The one thing God's going to introduce to you is the revelation of the fire of His presence. And that fire has come to you already in a sense. You've imagined it, you've dreamed it, you've heard about it, and you've wondered, is that for me? God would say it is. You've learnt tonight how to receive. Just simply receive and try to manufacture this. You've learnt a lot about receiving. Receive this revelation of fire. Your focus is not being where it should be. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Now you've learnt tonight. I believe this evening has been for you some keys. So we speak against all the distractions in your life because this revelation has come to you. There's been the imagination has these things that God has shown in your imagination, and it's been clearer today, clearer tonight. I don't think you were here last night, were you? No. I think last night was an exceptional meeting for you, for the word that was shared. If you can get hold of last night's message, and that'll help you clear up some things. And love tonight, you want lots of it. And tonight God would, I believe here, there's just so much love, if you can just receive that. So Father, I thank you for the capacity that he has right now to receive your love. And that yoke and that burden that you said is easy and the burden that is light. I don't put any heavy burden on you, but just to love. In Jesus' name, okay.
Thank you. So that lady down there. God has shown me that you've had a lot of time situations in your life where you've thought it's hopeless and no one cares. God wants to tell you tonight you are the apple of his eye. He wants to tell you also, he wants to touch you with that love. He wants you to open your heart. Just open it and receive it. Receive his love, because there's no greater love. And it also came to me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But even if there was only one person in the world, that was you, he would have still sent Jesus. And Jesus would have come for you. He knows your heart. He knows what you've been through. But he's such a gentleman. He would not come uninvited. So he wants you to know. Cry out to him. And he will draw near unto you.
Praise God. You could feel that love going through, right? And that's what ministry is about. Channeling his love.
Lord will say to you, brother, that he's spoken to you in through dreams, he's spoken to you in the word, through the word, And he's telling you tonight, the word that he gives, you bring it forth in the church. Prophesy. Prophesy the word of the Lord. And fear not. Fear not what man says. You just prophesy what God tells you to prophesy. That's all I'm getting from God. And as you attend to his word, incline your ears unto his saints. Let them not depart from your heart, but keep them in the midst of your heart. He'll show you even greater things than that. Mother, that's all I got from the Lord for you. Bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
The guy there, I see like a cloud in front of you, over you, and it's his presence. It's all over you. And that there's, sometimes you feel like there's a real emptiness in your spirit, like a big hole. But the Lord said it's not really a hole. It's actually filled, but you don't see that. You don't know that. There's a presence over you, but you don't feel that. But it's there. And that the spirit of life, which is in Christ, which is in you, flows through your very veins. And that will be an outflowing out of your spirit from way down deep, and it will start to flow right through your very veins, through your whole body. It will affect your mind, the way you see yourself. Because the Lord said you're down on yourself, and the Lord said that the spirit of life flows through your very veins, and that you're not just below everyone else. You're seated in the heavenlies, and his presence is on you, and also he's healing a part of your back. You've had a lower back problem on the right side. He's healing it now. There's a warmth going down your spine. There it is. It's in the lower part right there. I can see it just on the right side in the back. There's a warmth flowing right now. Is that right? And he's healing you now. That's his presence. And as you allow that to flow out of your spirit, it will flow through your veins and right through you every day of your life. That anointing is on your shoulders. It's all over you.
Amen.
You know, I just saw your face. I was just standing out in the crowd, and I can just see the beautiness of God. And he gave me a scripture. I don't know the whole scripture, but it says that he's given you beauty for ashes. And I don't know what you've gone through, but God just wants to know that he really loves you, and that there seems to be a spirit of worship on you too. Do you sing? No? Do you play an instrument? No. Okay. Right. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why I saw it. Anyway, he just wants, like, the garment of praise to be on you. Like, when you go through hard times, that he just wants you to put that on. And that, just to spiritually put that garment of praise when you feel down or depressed, and, you know. So just keep smiling, because you've got the beautiness of God radiating out of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is that your brother over there, or you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray that you'll really just bless this brother and sister, Lord. Father, bless them, Lord. Father God, just anoint them, Father God. I pray whatever they put their hands to will prosper. Father God, I pray, Lord, even for solutions, Lord, for questions that they've been asking, Father. Lord, that you just give them the solutions to, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. This lady here, can I pray for you? Come here. Come. I just don't want to bend over there. That's not good for my back. Thank you, Lord. 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 I see a real passion for God in your life. And, you know, I believe at times you've observed things, and, you know, you see in the spirit a lot. And I see that sometimes you've been disappointed. I see real disappointment there at times. And sometimes you look at and you're just being disappointed because you knew that God wanted more. And you knew that God had something higher, and that in the situations you saw it, it didn't always go to you where you knew God, where you knew where God wanted it to go. So at times you've been disappointed about that. But I just believe the Lord's bringing a release from that disappointment. You know, at times it's almost like, mentally, it's almost, there's nothing mentally wrong with you. But at times it's almost like you felt like mentally it was starting to almost affect you. Like you think, oh man, am I going crazy or something? But you know, it's because of that passion for God inside of you. And Lord, I just pray right now, just a release, Lord, from disappointment, Lord. A release from it, Lord. You know, you felt it because of your passion from God. Passion for God, but the Lord's just releasing you from any of the ill effects of it right now in Jesus' name, Lord. I think you're bringing release from that, Lord. And Lord, she's not crazy, Lord. There's nothing mentally wrong with her, Lord. We just say the mind of Christ. You've got the mind of Christ. The Lord's saying to you, you have the mind of Christ. Something's happening tonight to you. You know, as you, right now it's happening, it started. You can go home, you go to sleep tonight, and overnight tonight, something, God is doing a work. And you're going to wake up in the morning, and things are going to be different. Things are going to be different. In the morning, you are going to feel almost like a new person in the morning. God's bringing release from some things that weighed down on you. You know what he says? You know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he's giving you his yoke, his burden. That's easy and it's light. And he's removing every heavy weight and burden off you. Every oppressing spirit is going in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Because he just loves you so much. He just loves you so much. He's seen that passion in your heart for the things of God. And he just loves you so much. He's just bringing release to your life tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. What's your name? Let's just reach out our hands to Lynn right now and just bless her. We bless Lynn, Lord. We bless Lynn. We bless Lynn, Lord. We bless her. And Lord, we bless what you're doing. Lord, that tonight, overnight tonight, started, it's already started, Lord, it's already happening, that you are doing something in Lynn, Lord. And that by the time she wakes up tomorrow morning, that, Lord, that it will be, that the effects of it will be seen and felt in her life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. Bless you. The Lord loves you so much. So much.
Praise God. Now, you notice that as the Spirit of God flows through each one of the pastors, it takes a different manifestation. As it flows through their personality, through their life. But always in all ministry, it is love that flows through each one of them. And tonight, we just had to finish that section on love before tomorrow, where we talk about manifestation, interpretation, and application, where some of these manifestations come and want to know what they are. So, praise God, if the rest of you need any ministry and you want to stay back to minister, we will minister to you together with the pastors here. But otherwise, I'll pass the time back to Pastor. Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Peter, so much. I honestly don't have anything to say. I'm just really in awe of the Lord and of his love. Aren't you? I'm just in awe of God and I'm just thankful and just appreciating so much what God is doing in these meetings. I'm just so thankful to the Lord and
That's it. So God bless you very much. But as Pastor said, if you like ministry of prayer, come up and someone can pray for you. You know, you maybe there's people here that you don't really feel that complete revelation of just how much God loves you. And really, I believe, you know, one of the keys to success in life is, you know, the more you know God loves you, you know, the better you're going to do life. Amen. So maybe if these people that you just really want to just experience, really it'll just be a matter of somebody ministering to you and you just opening yourself and yielding yourself to the love of God and just letting someone minister that to you. Just experiencing something more of the love of God, just opening up to the love of God. Amen. So I bless you people that need to, but I think if you're going to go now, if there are people getting ministered to, we'll just be reverent to the Lord still. And that must be my idiosyncrasies, pastor, or something. But but we'll just be reverent to the Lord, because sometimes if you're ministering to someone and then somebody's having a loud party in the back, I'm not one of the ones that can handle the terrorist bomb next door. So bless you all. Good night.